The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yeah, the boy is sleeping on the job right now. Motherfucker's laid up watching TV while we're up here doing a podcast.
Must be nice.
Yeah, I'm going to have to dock executive producer Salem's, like, pay or some shit. He's not going to get any treats in between meals.
Oh my god, did I tell you about his little escapades the other day?
No, what did he do?
Okay, so, it was like Monday, I was dead asleep. And I felt these little needles on my chest. And I'm like, my mind is snapped awake. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? And then I start
fucking
hearing
sleep
this.
Sleep paralysis demon.
And then I start hearing this, like, really low, like, growl. Yeah. And I'm like,
this it's is a good my, cat sound effect, Sam.
Yeah, right?
Thank
this
you.
This is my time. this is how I'm going to go right now. So.
It's the Ozark meower.
Yeah. And then. So I open my eyes, and we have a nightlight in our bedroom that is on my side. And I open my eyes, and all I see is just Salem's face just, like, slumped over, eyes, like, super heavy, looking at me, purring and making biscuits on my titties.
He needed to open the biscuit factory early.
He needed some milk for them biscuits.
At 4 in the morning? I think not. So I was like, what the fuck are you doing? And he just looks at me, stops for a second, and then goes right back to biscuit making. And so at this point, I'm annoyed. So I roll over, and he comes with me because he's a lazy, lazy piece of shit and will come with you. Like, if you drag the blanket, he doesn't get up.
It was 4 in the morning.
He doesn't get up. So I roll with the blanket, and he comes with me. And then he continues making biscuits, and I was like, well, at least it's not on my fucking titties. But I'm not even joking. I literally, like, when I heard the purring and felt the little punctures, I was like, this is how I'm going. Like, this is literally a sleep. This is what they keep talking about with these sleep paralysis demons. I'm like, this is how they go. I don't care about them sitting on you.
You know, since you're speaking about a sleep paralysis demon, let's talk about one that terrorized L.A. in the 80s.
Oh, God. We're ending it with this guy.
Yeah. Yeah,
we are rounding out our summer
season. Call me king of the segues.
You do really good segues.
Thank you. I really try. This week, we are starting a series. If you didn't read the fucking title, shame on you. But one of the most despicable, vile serial killers ever to walk the earth.
Yeah, he's described as one of the most ruthless serial killers of all time.
He was kind of the anti-Bundy, where Bundy was, like, super organized.
Yeah.
Richard Ramirez was completely fucking unhinged.
Complete melee.
Just a shit show.
It was just chaos.
Mayhem.
There was no type. There was no... And we'll get into that later in this episode, but this dude is no fucking joke.
Mm-mm.
He's been featured in several fucking works. American Horror Story.
I have a cereal bowl with Richard Ramirez's face on it at the bottom.
That's great. When you finish your milk from your Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh, I don't eat out of them.
Oh, you don't? So you bought a bowl you don't eat out of?
I bought a set. So it's four. But I bought the set because it had a Charlie Manson bowl with it, and it fucking came broken!
You know, the only bowls I'd be interested from a serial killer would be Ed Gein, and that's because those were human skulls. Just saying.
What does he make the spoon out of?
Probably a femur.
No, that's too big.
Maybe a forearm?
Finger? What is it, the ulna and the radius?
Yeah.
Look at me referencing my...
eighth grade science. Biology.
My anatomy. If you want to know where I got my serial killer bowls, I got them off of an Etsy shop called Rude Girl Designs.
Maybe you are. And
I love them.
If you get a Charles Manson,
pay you for it. I need it.
She will trade you.
Yeah, she
I'm not trading. I'm not trading.
Her fucking...
She did reimburse me. She did. But I was like, listen, like, you don't have to reimburse me. I will wait. She's like, well, I don't make them all the time. I was like, that's fine. That's fine. I want it.
I'd just be like, just make me a single.
Yeah. And then I was like, literally next time you make another batch, just make me one. I don't care.
One extra one.
Yeah. I'll just make it for me.
I'll pay for it.
Yeah. I was like, you don't have to reimburse me. I want the Charlie Manson one.
She said no.
Oh, she's like, oh, I'll just reimburse you. I got like $10 back. I think the set was like $40, I think.
What a shame.
38.
What a fucking shame.
But I got
insert Sam's stare into the distance.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Yeah, pretty much.
But it's the one it's the one where his like pentagram is on his palm. Oh. And it was him. I believe I have Jeffrey Dahmer, Ramirez. I don't remember who else. Ted Bundy, I think, is one of them.
I would say probably it's either Bundy or Dahmer. If they're going, I'd have to go back
into my purchases.
But before we get into the episode, guys, welcome to all the new people. Please make sure you have your auto downloads on Apple Podcast, and make sure you're downloading the episodes. It really helps us out. If you want to hang out and contact us and comment on our post, join us on Instagram at Creeps in the Crypt, no spaces. Twitter at Creeps in, just the letter in the Crypt, and just fucking shoot the shit with us. We love to contact you guys. So, without further ado, Sam, let's start. Richard Ramirez, The Night Stalker, Part 1.
I do have Dahmer, Bundy, Charlie, and Ramirez. I could not. It was in my brain. I do have Dahmer. I had to look back. I'm sorry. Anyway.
I'm glad we figured out your bowl situation. I'm so glad we figured that out.
Please somebody send this woman Manson, if you have this one.
Rude Girl Design.
She's Mansonic.
So funny. Richard Levia? Levia?
I don't fucking know. I don't speak Spanish. I slipped through that class.
I didn't even take Spanish. Munoz Ramirez. If I said that wrong, don't come for me.
Munoz.
Munoz? It's got the little squiggly.
Oh,
Munoz.
Christ almighty. Oh, we're going to butcher this episode so bad.
R-L-M-R. I would just go with...
Anyway, Munoz Ramirez was born on February 29th, 1960 in El Paso, Texas.
Fucking leap year.
I didn't even freaking realize that.
That's what's wrong with him.
I just realized that.
He was born leap year.
I was like, wait a second. February 29th?
I literally didn't even...
He didn't have a real birthday.
He was born on a leap year.
I would also make me homicidal.
Yeah, because like
they have your birthday.
Happy fourth birthday.
Yeah. Literally, like, what, 7 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
When do you celebrate your birthday?
The 28th, maybe. I don't know.
Do you do it the first? What zodiac sign are you?
I mean, I think there was a lot more wrong with Richard than what the day his birthday fell on.
I don't know.
Maybe it all stemmed from that. Maybe that's what it was. He was a leap year baby.
I mean, that would drive me nuts, too. I also don't understand why every 7 years is an extra day. I don't know how we get that.
Well, supposedly the Earth just sped up mysteriously recently. So all our days are super shorter now.
I don't have time to unpack that.
We'll talk about it off mic.
He was the fifth child of Mexican immigrants Mercedes and Julian Ramirez. His father, Julian, a Mexican national and former Juarez policeman.
Is it Julian or Julian?
Probably Julian. I'm just stupid.
That's fair. That's fair. I'll give you that one.
Julian. Is that?
I don't fucking know.
I mean, it's jalapeno, so yeah, I guess the J's do make
it. Yeah, the J would be an H. And it's Juarez.
I did say Juarez.
Okay.
Fuck, I did say Juarez and then Julian. I'm so fucking stupid.
Jesus Christ. Oh, we're off to a great fucking start here, folks.
J's apparently throw me off. It's fine. I'm fine, I think. So he was a policeman who later became a laborer on the AT&SF Railway, which is the Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe Railway. He was an alcoholic who was prone to fits of anger that often resulted in physical abuse towards his wife and children. He's just a gem of a guy.
Real ladies,
what man. A guy.
He got number one dad.
Father cuts. Of the year.
Padre of the year. I don't know how to say year
Papa
in Spanish.
No.
I don't know how to say year in Spanish. I took French.
Años?
I don't fucking
Is it
know.
Años?
I don't fucking know.
And they is it in French. So that sounds... That,
I just
that
realized, track. Like, I think Richard Ramirez might be one of the only Hispanic American serial killers.
No, I'm sure there's plenty.
No, I think he might I think he might be the most notorious
Probably
one.
Probably the most notorious, but...
Like, in America?
Yeah, like, North... Like, the United States. I mean, look, there's some dudes down in South America that are...
Yeah, Pedro Lopez. I like him.
Wild.
He's still not... They've still found him.
I mean, isn't there one that, like, killed, like, 200 orphans or some crazy shit?
I think that was Pedro Lopez.
Yeah.
He, like, broke out of prison. A freaking... Was it Brazilian?
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. It was a South American prison. We'll have to do an episode on it. It was a South American prison, so yeah. You know that shit was wild.
No shit.
I've seen it in Prison Break.
I was going to say, what'd you see that in the Italian Job?
I love the Italian Job! Anyway, Richard, or Ricky, sustained multiple head injuries early on in his life. At age 2, a dresser fell on his head, causing him to get 30 stitches, almost killing him.
Oh, what a shame the dresser missed.
Eric!
I know that
he was an innocent 2-year-old at that point.
Well, you know, sometimes you gotta get a time machine and kill these serial killer babies. All right. Here's the
Not
paradox.
The babies.
No, here's the paradox for you. You know, Adolf Hitler kills 6 million Jews. You get sucked into a time warp where he dumps you out next to baby Hitler. What do? Do you kill that baby? And saved the lives of 6 million people.
Do I have the opportunity? Is it like killing him? Is like is that my only choice, or kind of like take him in as my own and love him, and then he doesn't turn to be Hitler? What if that happens?
No. He ends up Hitler no matter what.
Oh. Is it like a baby, or is it
it's
like teenage?
A fucking baby.
Oh, I don't.
Eric can go
stomp a mud hole in that baby's ass. That's what I'm saying. Stomp
That's
the yard.
A baby.
Hey, it's Hitler.
This has gone off the rails. Much
are
like
you
this
saying
year.
You wouldn't kill Hitler, Sam?
No, all babies are cute and innocent.
Mm. What if this baby had the mustache?
Oh, fuck. Little bitty baby mustache.
I'm sorry, I got us off topic.
You did. Off the rails.
In the comments on Facebook, I'll take a poll. Would you kill a baby Hitler?
And then that's how our podcast got striked.
Stroked?
Would you kill baby Hitler poll on Instagram? Coming soon. You know what? I'll put the poll out this Sunday.
Okay.
So.
He's a baby. I'm a mom. I don't know. I don't know. It's a baby. It's a cute little baby. Maybe.
It's baby Hitler.
Know.
He's goose stepping in diapers.
What the hell is a goose step?
The Nazi march.
Like, I didn't know that was called a goose step.
Yeah, you're goose stepping.
Like a goose?
No, like one foot out. I can't do it because I'm like fucking sitting down on the
couch. I mean, I know what march you're talking about. Yeah, I just didn't.
They call it goose stepping or high stepping. But yeah, one hand out. I'm not going to do it.
Well, I know.
I'm not going to do the Zig Hail thing through the fucking window to where the neighbors can see me. So I don't need them thinking I'm hosting a rally up here. I'm just like doing a paradox.
Oh, that would be the one thing that they would be worried about, not the 8 foot tall zombie that's in the fucking upstairs or the
plague doctor.
Yeah, the plague doctor who's more than 8 foot tall.
By the way, I'll be unveiling the new studio on September 2nd, the spooky season episodes. So
anyway, we are so far off topic.
Yeah. All right, enough about baby Hitler and would you kill him, Sam, which apparently you won't.
She didn't answer it.
It's a baby.
Why don't you answer it on the poll?
I would have a serious... It's a catch-22. Like, yay, no Hitler, but like, I killed a baby.
What about baby Richard Ramirez? Would you push the dresser? All right, would you push the dresser knowing this man killed maybe 20 people? Would you push the dresser onto baby Richard Ramirez?
No, because he...
Clearly the dresser falling on his head was the cause.
It might be! Because, like, what if it didn't? I mean, his dad beat the shit out of him. We just time travel
paradox this fucking episode.
I mean, his dad beat the shit out of him. And then a swing hit him in the head.
We'll get to that. So, like,
I'm about to.
All right, let's get to that.
I'm going to put a ball gag in your mouth. Shut up so she can fucking get back into the episode.
No, our paradoxes.
The episode has gone into more chaos than this serial killer. Okay.
Well, it's fitting. All right. It's par for the course. We are on brand for this little mini series.
That is true.
Baby Hitler is excited.
Baby Hitler needs to die. All right, let's move on.
Anyway, there's this conspiracy theory about Hitler. Anyway, we'll get there. Not here, but there.
Maybe next spring. Springtime for Hitler.
Oh, my God.
You're doing our April episode.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So, dresser falls on him. He gets 30 stitches. After he was knocked unconscious by a swing back when he was 5, he began to have epileptic fits.
Which, if you remember to an early episode this summer, John Wayne Gacy got knocked out by a swing and had epileptic blackouts and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is no more playground equipment.
Yeah, I wouldn't do metal swings on the playground. That's what I'm going
to do. I don't think I ever had metal swings.
You never played on a rusty-ass playground? Where you had the chance of getting tetanus?
Oh, no, I grew up in the boonies. They were just wooden.
Mine weren't wooden.
Oh, okay, we were more sophisticated.
Ours were metal. Not so mine. When you went down the slide, it took off half a layer of your skin.
No, we had metal ones.
Like the whole thing metal?
No, just the slide. The rest of it was wood. Janky ass wood. At that. Yeah, no. Mm-mm. We didn't have any metal swings.
I think a wooden swing would still knock you the fuck out, though.
Mm-hmm. Probably. We had a big-ass tire swings and shit. Like,
especially if it was just like, oops, your uncle fucking built this swing, and it's just a 2x4, and it's strapped to a fucking string or like a rope. And somebody just takes the end of it and like throws it at you.
Mm.
Yeah, we had wooden swings on chains. It's fine. I know I'm redneck. It's okay. You ain't got to tell me.
It's fine. We lived. We didn't kill nobody. We didn't go on rampages.
I lived, sort of. I came out relatively unscathed. Slight trauma, but I'm fine.
Jesus fucking okay, I'm Christ. Fine. I got to hold my tongue on that one. Go ahead, Sam.
Richard also claimed that his father physically abused him and that he had sustained multiple head injuries as a child. So, like, we already know for sure of two. The dresser and the swing. And then
God knows how many he had during, like, an epileptic fit. He was probably smashed. Because that's what killed Travolta's son, was an epileptic, like, seizure.
I thought it was a plane crash.
No. His son died, like, in a shower. Jet. No.
Jet, right?
No.
His name was Jet.
Oh, I don't fucking know.
I thought it was an airplane crash.
I just remember reading about it.
I don't know. That was so long ago.
But we've already checked off two boxes under how to make a serial killer. Head injury, which you see time and time a fucking again.
Mm-hmm. And abuse.
And abuse.
And the third is what? Arson?
Well, I mean, there's like bedwetting and shit like that. But like,
but the main trifecta.
He's got two of the three.
Yes.
I believe the third one. Well, I mean, you just see it as similarities in serial killers. It's like abusive childhood, head injury. But he's about to meet his best influence ever. It's almost like this guy wrote a serial killer cookbook. Like if Ed Kemper's mom was to write a book on parenting, this would be the guy that would like fucking one up her and be like, watch this. And that's
hold what my beer.
Yeah, hold my burr. Hey, hold y'all. My Modelo.
Hey y'all, watch this. Was that Larry the Cable Guy?
Yeah, something like that. Get her done.
Get her done. All right. Anyway.
Let's get her done.
By the age of 10, Richard had started smoking weed and drinking alcohol. So he's just ripe for the picking. At 12 years old, Richard, Richie, as he was known to his family, he was strongly influenced by his older cousin Miguel, or Mike Ramirez, a decorated Green Beret combat vet who had already become a serial killer and a rapist during his time in the Army in Vietnam. Mike.
This dude's super fucked up. Like,
yeah.
If the family knows this guy's history, which it sounds like he speaks very, very open and candid about.
He was gonna be like, oh, that wasn't me. He's not taking
it. No, I think he straight up shows this to about anybody in the family that is like,
how was Vietnam?
Well, let me show you.
Well, Uncle Julian,
here's let me show you. Here's my necklace of Vietnamese women's ears.
Ew.
It's the only thing that gets me off at night.
It's the original earbud.
All I can think of is that skit from SNL where the Vietnam vet is at the puppet like class. He's like, back in Grenada. Back in the jungles of Grenada.
I can't.
So Miguel often boasted of his brutal war crimes and shared photos with Richard showing him the Vietnamese women.
Oh, what were they photos of, Sam? Like the food he ate there? Like, you know, kind of like an Instagram post? Or what were the photos of?
Could I? Well, no, he didn't eat them. So I can't call it food.
No, I was saying like, you know, when you go travel somewhere, you take like really pretty photos of like the scenery and the food and the all the touristy shit. What were these photos of, Sam?
I'm going to call this extreme tourism, and they were...
Something out of an Eli Roth movie, maybe?
I was thinking of Night of Shyamalan, because it's fucking horrific.
I was thinking Hostel by Eli Roth, but...
Oh, is that? Oh, yeah. I don't know. I didn't know who directed Hostel. That went over my head, which a lot of things do. It's fine.
Sorry, I'm a horror movie person.
I mean, I like them. I don't know who directed them. But I enjoy them.
I'm a horror movie snob.
You're a whore for horror movies.
Yeah.
So the photos were of the Vietnamese women whom he had assaulted, tortured, murdered, dismembered, and or decapitated.
Richard, by assaulted, did you mean rape?
Yes. I hate that word. I just don't like saying it.
I'll say it for you. Don't worry.
Thank you, Eric.
It's the neighborly thing to do.
Jeff, just insert rape or into there with Eric's voice anytime that
no!
they assault
it. Just do 5 minutes of me
saying rape.
No.
Just get the You know what? This episode's cursed already, so let's keep going.
Richard would later state, while incarcerated, that he was fascinated, as opposed to being repulsed, by the images and stories Miguel shared with him. Miguel taught Richard some of his military skills, such as killing with stealth and effectively staying hidden in the dark.
I'm sure he'll go on to apply those skills later on in life. But, I mean, who didn't look at fucked up photos as a kid? Like,
everybody in this room.
Not me.
You didn't look up fucked up photos?
I would go on Ogreish and Rotten.com all the fucking time, dude.
I've never even heard of those.
So that's where you'd go to see, like, decomposing bodies and, like...
Oh, I was agreeing with
car
you.
Crash victims and all sorts of fucked up shit. Murder victims.
I watched a
Swedish girl get her head cut off on there. It was, like, really fucked up. Yeah, dude.
Sam's like live?
Not live. I mean, it was recording. There's a lot of fucked up shit on the internet back in the day, dude.
Did you hear about, he was Russian, like a video game streamer. He killed his girlfriend on fucking live. On like a Twitch stream or some shit like that.
That happens all the time. The guy who blew his head off on the Twitch stream, or no, it was Facebook Live.
Who showed me that video?
I think it was me.
Fuck you. I will never forget that. But he, like, it was in fucking Russia in the wintertime. He, like, locked his girlfriend out in her bra and panties on their freaking patio, and she froze to death.
Damn, that's crazy.
No, thank you. So it was around this time that Richard began to seek escape from his father's violent temper by sleeping in a cemetery. What do you mean?
You know, I respect it. So when I was 21, I used to intern at a funeral home and a cemetery. I worked at the cemetery, interned at the funeral home, but I would go take power naps in the mausoleum at like 3 o'clock.
It's very quiet.
In the morning or afternoon?
Yeah, the afternoon.
It's very quiet.
I was going out and partying all night because I was like fucking 21. I was like, fuck it, whatever. And then I'd crash in the afternoon. I'd sleep with the dead for about 2 hours.
Did you sleep like the dead?
No. They don't wake back up.
You're hilarious.
The look I'm getting is just cash money.
I'm going to get a little whiteboard behind me, and every time that Sam looks at Eric with disdain, I'm going to tally
it. It needs to be like a... Like
0 days since incident board.
It would never be at zero, ever.
No, it just always... Well, it would just be like the days in between the recordings.
They don't count because I'm not here.
Mm, there you go. Zero days.
She could show disdain. Every time she... Through text,
I can send a GIF.
Yeah. Mm. I'm marking that one. I'm going to run up the stairs. And
ding!
Yep, tally that one. That was sent in disdain.
I'm going to look if there's any disdainful gifts.
God damn it.
When we're done here. Richard was present on May 4th, 1973, when Miguel fatally shot his wife, Jessie, in the face with a handgun during an argument. Like the graphic photos and stories of his cousin's war crimes in Vietnam, Richard would later similarly remark that witnessing the murder was not traumatizing for him in any traditional sense, but rather a subject of fascination.
Like, watching a woman's brain get fucking splattered in front of you at that young of an age has to, like, really fuck you up.
According to Richard, it was fascinating. It was great.
Fascinating. Fuck. He's the mad scientist off of Jurassic Park. Fascinating. But, just, oh, look at how the brain matter goes against the wall. Fascinating. Yeah, dude. Nah, that's pretty fucking dark.
Yeah. I don't even know how to unpack that.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Instead of finding it terrifying, he's like, do it again.
He's like,
here, let's go find our neighbor.
Can I shoot the next one?
Yeah.
Dibs on the next one.
God damn it.
After the shooting, Richard became sullen and withdrawn from his family and peers. Miguel was later found not guilty of Jesse's murder by reason of insanity, with the shooting attributed to PTSD from his service in Vietnam.
I could see that.
He only got sentenced to like 4 years in the mental hospital. And then he was like, they were like, see you later.
He's like, I was in the shit. I just imagine him like talking like Nick Nolte in Tropic Thunder.
I've never seen that movie.
Oh my God.
What? It's so good. It's such like, a good movie.
We gotta take Richie and put him in the shit.
Never seen it.
It's so good. Oh. It's the best.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, I'm sure somebody at home can laugh at that joke.
Someone did.
I'm sure somebody did.
It just wasn't me.
I'm gonna fucking Clockwork Orange your ass and make you watch it. You never seen Clockwork Orange, have you?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, I was gonna go for the tally of disdain.
I fucking hate it here.
Tally for every time Eric shakes his head at both of us.
Oh my God. At
one or both.
I haven't really said anything obnoxious yet, so.
No, yet you've been being the good. Operative word.
You've been pretty good. Let's continue.
It's only the beginning. Shortly after the shooting, Richard moved in with his older sister Ruth and her husband Roberto.
This is probably like the final spice. Well, maybe not the spice. The final ingredient into Richard's serial killer casserole.
The piece de resistance.
Why is he a casserole? Is it because nobody
likes... He's got a mix of things going on.
Nobody likes casseroles.
Is that what it is? I like some casseroles.
Oh, Ed Kemper loved casseroles.
Mm.
He cooked a couple women in a casserole.
Wonderful. Did he put breadcrumbs on it?
No, it was like a mac and cheese casserole.
We can go right into the book with Joe Metheny and Jeffrey Dahmer.
I don't think that he took anybody to Flavortown, so I'm just going to just...
Nah,
he took him to Pound Town.
It was a very Midwest, yeah.
You're okay saying that, but not the R word?
Let's just say he glazed the donut.
Oh. No. He got to taste his own spice.
Did he cut them up after and ate them?
Yeah. He, like, cut some thigh meat off, throw it in a casserole.
Okay, so it wasn't like... Okay.
He was just, like, a perversion thing. But we're done with Kemper. We gotta keep going with Richard Ramirez.
So Richard moves in with his sister Ruth and her husband, Roberto. And so Roberto is an obsessive peeping Tom who took Richard along on his little nighttime adventures.
After, what could go wrong there? What example could that set for a boy who just literally spent the last couple years staring at beheaded Vietnamese women?
Nothing but wholesome rainbows and unicorns and butterflies.
It's not like he would apply these skills that he's learning later on in life.
No, that's not at all why we're talking about him on Summer of Slaughter 2. Not at all! After Miguel was released from the mental hospital in 1977, he sometimes accompanied Richard and Roberto on these voyeuristic walks, spying on women in the nearby areas through their windows. By the time Richard had turned 14 in early 1974, he began using LSD frequently.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
In an interview, I did. It was wild. He did it enough to a point to where, like, his childhood friends were, like, making comments after he got caught. They're like, well, you know, the LSD is what fucked him up. Like, he wasn't right after he took that shit.
Yeah, I'm too scared to do any of that stuff. I'm a big old puss.
You don't want to come? You want to come talk to the clockwork elves with me?
No, I'm good, thank you.
They're really cute, apparently, from what Eric told me.
They look like little clockwork gnomes. They're great.
I'm sure they're very.
They're in the mirror.
I'm sure they're very adorable and very nice.
I'm not even kidding.
What do you mean?
Like, if you stare in the mirror, you see them.
I'm not even making a joke.
No.
That actually happened.
It's actually like a thing. Yeah,
it's a thing. It's an LSD thing.
Oh. So it's not like you stare into the mirror. I was like, I stare in the mirror for like 30, 45 minutes at a time every day.
Do it on acid. You won't look away for like 3.5 hours.
I'm good.
Acid's great.
I wouldn't know. And the most I've done is like pot. I was prescribed Percocets for my C-section, though. That was fun. I slept wonderfully. So Richard and Miguel resumed their bonding over their shared use of drugs and alcohol.
I wonder if he was like the uncle that had like the 10 stories, but Richard, like, because he's on LSD, is like, man, this is like the first time I'm seeing this ever again.
Staring at pictures on acid is like mind blowing because every single pixel is moving all at once.
Oh my God.
So if he's looking at these pictures of these decapitated fucking torture.
They're moving!
Yeah. They're moving. Like, pictures move when you're on acid.
Thank you.
Their head's, like, floating away from their body slowly.
And Miguel's dick is just getting longer and longer.
Gross.
It looks like that old Windows screensaver, the pipe that just keeps...
Favorite screensaver.
I just ruined it for it. I don't even have that one anymore. Like,
and then the little candy, when it turned into the little candy cane one.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. I remember the ball that turned into spikes.
Yes! That one too. There's another one I liked. I don't remember what it was though.
I like that one. I was like, oh, okay.
And I like the pipe and it would like change colors and stuff.
Well, that is Miguel's dick.
Everybody. Yeah. Miguel's pipe also changed colors when you're on LSD.
I'm sure it did. It was during this period that Richard began to cultivate an interest in Satanism and the occult.
I wonder why.
Yeah. What could go wrong here? When he reached adolescence, Richard Ramirez began to meld his burgeoning sexual fantasies with graphic violence, including forced bondage and BDSM, murder, mutilation, and assault. While still in school, he took a job at a local Holiday Inn and used his passkey to rob sleeping patrons. Foreshadowing.
Yep.
Just a little bit. On at least one occasion, Richard molested 2 children in an elevator at the hotel, but he was never reported or prosecuted for this act. His employment ended abruptly after Richard attempted to assault a woman in her hotel room and was caught in the act by the victim's husband. Although the husband beat Richard at the scene, criminal charges were dropped when the couple, who lived out of state, declined to return to Texas to testify against him.
What you have here in most like rape cases is, especially in this time, because this is like what, late 70s?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The stigma of having to go through a rape trial. So they don't want the negative stigma. They don't want the negative attention. So they just say, fuck it and let it go.
I mean, that still happens today.
I mean, it still happens today. People are pieces of shit. Like, that's just the facts. But, I mean, that's why Richard Ramirez didn't get, like, seriously fucking punished for this.
I'd have beaten the dickens out of him.
I want to say the husband beat the fuck out of him.
He would have needed a straw to eat through. rest of his life. He'd have been a vegetable. Mm. If I was a dude.
Look, he would have killed baby Ramirez. He'd have been all about it.
Yeah.
Like, if I could save my wife from the pain and anguish of an attempted rape, stomp that baby's head.
Swish it like a gusher.
Richard dropped out of his school, his high school freshman year, and then he was arrested for the first time for marijuana possession in 1977.
Not anything else, just that.
That's his first time. That's, okay. Yeah. His first taste of...
He got his cherry popped.
Yeah, that was his first taste of what... The judicial system. He then moved to California and became addicted to cocaine and soon began to burglarize homes.
Now, this was around the same time that we're going to harken back to our first two episodes. This is when he was living at the Cecil Hotel.
No shit.
Yep. So once he started hanging out on Skid Row.
I thought that was later.
I mean, this was constant throughout the entire fucking time.
Oh, okay.
Like, this was permanent. He would be in and out of the Cecil Hotel.
I love Cecil.
Yeah, so around this time, but much like Jesus, who disappeared for like 30 years in the Bible, or 15 years in the Bible, Richard Ramirez just basically disappears for like three. That we don't really have a track record on what he did, what he could have done.
Yeah, we still don't know, like, what all.
And we never will.
No.
We never will.
No.
But there's a 3 or 4 year gap, basically, between, like, him leaving Texas and coming to California, and then him, like, really ramping it up again.
Yeah.
But everybody said he never worked and he always had cocaine. So you can put the picture together. He was just fucking robbing everybody.
Oh yeah.
But that was his nickname as a kid, was Ricky Rabone.
Rabone?
Rabone.
Rabone.
Rabone. Robber. Ricky the Robber.
Oh, okay. Is that Spanish for robber?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I didn't want to sound stupid, but I wanted to know.
Yeah.
I took Spanish.
Don't worry, I can have Jeff edit that out.
I mean, I don't mean it, but at least the answer was yes, okay?
I'm just fucking with you.
At least the answer was yes to that question.
Oh my God.
Richard was arrested twice in L.A. for auto theft in 1981 and 1984. And it was during this time that he also started to severely neglect his personal hygiene.
So I have a quote real quick from Richard Ramirez. Somebody was asking about his one of his favorite songs, right?
Are you going to play it?
Not yet.
I mean, his voice.
Richard. No. This is out of a paper.
Oh.
So it doesn't show what they asked him, but it says, Ramirez, no, I listen to Billy Idol, Flesh for Fantasy. You know, the lyrics that would reflect my feelings. He has a song called Eyes Without a Face that he says, he's on a bus, which I always was on a bus most of the time. And he says that reading murder books to stay hip. He's on a psychedelic trip, you know? So it's been speculated that the song Eyes Without a Face inspired Richard Ramirez for some of his kills.
Interesting. Damn you, Billy Idol.
I can see that.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be a lot of music references in this series.
There has been a lot of music references.
Yeah. It's going to be AC/DC and Billy Idol and all of Richie's favorites.
I love AC/DC. And, of course, burglary and auto theft became not enough for Richard. So he upped his own ante and progressed to murder. Of course, because we wouldn't be talking about him if he didn't. On April 10th, 1984, Richard murdered Mei Lung, a 9-year-old Chinese-American girl, in the basement of his apartment building in the Tenderloin District of San Francisco. Lung was with her 8-year-old brother and looking for a lost $1 bill when Richard approached the girl and told her to follow him into the basement to find it. Once they were in the basement, Richard beat, strangled, and assaulted Lung before stabbing her to death with a switchblade, hanging her partially nude body from a pipe by her blouse. The killing was not linked to Richard until 2009, when his DNA was matched to a sample obtained at the crime scene.
You know what's the saddest fucking part about this? It's not like Richard Ramirez had any scruples about who he fucking killed or who he did what to. I think he literally just forgot about this one. I think he did so much killing that he just...
I mean, his agenda was very full. He had a lot going on.
Yeah. I think this was like probably one of those murders that he was just like, meh. He was still figuring it out.
He also was never technically charged with this murder either, because there was another sample of DNA found at the scene.
Yeah, we were going to touch on that later on.
Oh, sorry.
We were going to touch that on that in episode 2. But, all right, go ahead, Sam.
Sorry.
Foreshadowing.
June 27th, 1984. The first one of his reign.
Yeah, the first one that was documented, I guess, for Richard Ramirez.
The first that he was prosecuted for.
That's a good way to put it.
The first official of his body count, I guess, since technically he wasn't charged for the first one. It was 79-year-old Jenny Vinkow. She was sexually assaulted, stabbed, and killed during what was thought to be a burglary gone wrong in her home. Richard climbed through the window of her home in Eagle Rock. When he discovered that there wasn't much of anything of value within the home, he became so enraged that he slit her throat so deeply that it nearly decapitated her.
That's fucking heavy, dude.
That's a lot of rage.
Yeah.
Like a lot. Then he took a page from our buddy Ed Kemper's book and sexually assaulted her corpse. And this pretty much kickstarted his reign of terror. This murder.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good one to start with, I guess.
Starting off strong.
Because, I mean, between the first victim.
Yeah.
And the second victim was not that long, like not a long cooldown period at all.
No.
So it happened in April. The other one was June 27th.
Mm-hmm.
So.
A little over 2 months, right? 3 months,
yeah. Little
April. Over 2 months.
Yeah, about 2 months. So, not a long cooldown period at all. Normally, like, for the first kill, it's a pretty substantial, like, hibernation period.
Normally, but we are not talking about a normal guy.
No.
So, a little side note, I do want to, like, I've been thinking about this for a while. I want to, like, make, like, a, what are they called, like, the ruler graphs?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just like on a scale, and I want to like break up. I just want to see how many of like the notorious serial killers actually overlap each other.
Oh, like their location?
I mean, like just not of their location, like their reigns of terror. Like how many of them like overlap each other? Did they like know each other? I just want to know.
I don't think they all hang out at like a serial killer bar, but
why?
I'm sure, as we know with like Ed Kemper and Herbert Mullen, and
they could have $2 Bloody Marys.
They were working at the same time.
That's not funny to you.
I'm just skipping over that. You look flabbergasted.
I am.
And you had Dean Corll and Gacy operating at the same time. Like, you have a lot of serial killers operating around the same time, but it's mostly in, like, the 70s and 80s.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I just want to know.
Like, that was the heyday of serial killing, was the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, it's just not like how it used to be.
I mean, there's a couple in the 90s, but not like it was.
No, things were so much better back then.
Was it, Sam? Was it better?
Music was pretty bippin'. Good.
It's
good
music. Pretty bitchin'. Mm-hmm. Mm. You got rock and roll and, like, serial killers and cute clothes. What more could a girl ask for? Richard waited 9 months before he struck again. On March 17th, 1985, Maria Hernandez had just come home to her condo in Rosemead when Richard came up behind her with a gun and shot her. When she put up her hand to try and defend herself, the bullet actually ended up ricocheting off of her car keys and ultimately saved her life. She fell to the ground.
She is the luckiest potential serial killer victim of all time ever.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, 100% hands down, the fucking luckiest.
Yeah.
Next to the guy that was, like, in Jeffrey Dahmer's, like, kill chamber.
The Tracy guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tracy Edwards?
Yup.
I would say both of them are on the same level of, like, damn, I'm lucky.
Mary Vincent, also Lawrence Singleton. One of my favorites.
I'm sure we'll get to him. That.
Oh, we will. We will get to her. So, Maria says she remembers feeling, quote, a cross between pain and heat on my right hand. Richard then went into the condo and found Dale Okazaki hiding behind the kitchen counter, and he shot and killed her. When Richard left the condo, he was then face to face with Maria. He noticed her and pointed the gun at her once again, and she begged him, please don't shoot me again. And then he was just like, okay, put the gun down, or lowered his gun and ran. He decided that he hadn't done enough, so he shot and killed Cai Lian Yu the same evening. He pulled her out of her car, shot her, and then drove away. He just left her car and her body where they laid. That was it. The media initially dubbed him, quote, the Valley Intruder, but that name really didn't stick. He had a few different nicknames before being officially dubbed the Night Stalker. He was also called the...
Which is what he wanted to be called, the Night Prowler, which is what we'll talk about more in the next episode also. But yeah, he wanted to be called the Night Prowler after the AC/DC song, because that was like his favorite fucking band. In fact, he dropped a hat that said AC/DC... at the crime scene that he just left.
Really?
Yep.
He was also called the walk-in killer, which just makes me think he targets restaurants. But that might just be the service industry in me. And he was also called the screen door intruder.
Which has to be the worst fucking name.
Yeah, somebody should get fired from their paper that they're working at. Who came up with that? They'll have a meeting. And
like, who wants to be called the screen door intruder? Like, ugh.
Well, it didn't stick, so.
No, well, it was a terrible name.
The terrorist.
Well, yeah. But we also have two serial killers now called the Night Stalkers. We have the original Night Stalker and then the Night Stalker. Mm. There's two.
Interesting.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
Learn something fact. New every day. It's not an episode unless I have a fun fact.
There you go.
On March 27th, this is 10 days later, 1985, Richard entered a home that he had burglarized a year earlier at 2 a.m. and killed 64-year-old Vincent Charles Zazara with a gunshot to his head from his .22 caliber handgun. And then moved on to Maxine Lavinia Zazara, who was 44, She was awakened by the gunshot, and Richard beat her and bound her hands while demanding to know where her valuables were. While he ransacked the room, Maxine escaped her bonds and retrieved a shotgun from under her bed, which was not loaded.
What's sad is her husband unloaded the gun because her grandkids came over, the week before or something.
Mm.
So him being a good granddad got her fucking murdered.
That sucks.
Being a responsible adult got him murdered. Or got her murdered.
Mm-hmm. That fucking sucks.
Yeah. Don't let the NRA hear that one.
I doubt they listen to our podcast.
I doubt that, too.
The infuriated Richard shot her 3 times with a .22, then fetched a large carving knife from the kitchen. He mutilated her body by stabbing her several times, and then removed her eyes with the knife and placed them in a jewelry box, which he took when he left. And he kept it at his apartment as a souvenir until his arrest.
Dude.
Fucking gross.
That's why I brought up that eyes without a face shit.
Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah. And I believe he took it back to the Cecil.
Doesn't make it any less gross.
No.
And so he was living at the Cecil at this time.
Yeah. So he was bouncing around between San Francisco and
Skid Row.
So the Tenderloin and Skid Row. He was just hanging out with all the homeless people and shit. And the junkies and stuff.
You want to know something funny? I might have told you already, but I don't know. An episode of Castle, they shot right in front of the Cecil when they're supposed to be in New York. And I was like, you motherfuckers, you are so dumb. The autopsy determined that the mutilations were post-mortem. Vincent and Maxine's bodies were discovered by their son, Peter. Richard left footprints from a pair of Avia sneakers in the flower beds, which the police photographed and cast. This was virtually the only evidence that the police had at the time.
He was really good at not really leaving much evidence.
Mm-hmm. They always get sloppy, though. Bullets found at the scene were matched to those found at previous attacks, and the police determined that a serial killer was at large.
What would have given them that theory?
I have no idea. Police theorized that it was because Maxine got a good look at him. It was these murders that really set into his MO, which was shoot and kill the husband and then stab and assault the wife.
I mean, he was just doing random break-ins, though. It wasn't like these were planned out attacks, but
no, the people that he did kill, it
came out later on from a cellmate of his that what his MO really was hiding out in front of the house until the wee hours of the morning and then going in. So he'd watch these people throughout the night. And then go in and do his shit.
So he would just sit and watch.
In the trees and shit.
Ugh. One of the most terrifying things about Richard Ramirez, I mentioned earlier, he did not have a type like most serial killers have. Ed Kemper, he killed college girls, and Jeffrey Dahmer was a homosexual and 8 men, and he was just
Gacy liked little boys.
Yeah, he was in Israel Keys before Israel Keys was,
which was another music heavy inspired episode. So funny how we end where we start.
Oh, we did. Mm-hmm. It's a little poetic. He was willing to kill just about anyone who crossed his path.
Yeah, it wasn't about it was chaos. He was just killing out of chaos.
Literally no one was safe. On May 14th, 1985, Richard returned to Monterey Park and entered the home of Bill Doy, who was 66, and his disabled wife, 56-year-old Lillian Doy. Surprising Bill in his bedroom, Richard shot him in the face with a .22 semi-automatic pistol as he went for his own handgun, Bill. After beating the mortally wounded man into unconsciousness, Richard entered Lillian's bedroom, bound her with thumb cuffs. What the fuck are thumb cuffs?
They literally just go around your thumbs. You can't break the bond.
But like I know,
but think about it. Your thumb is a lot of...
They just cuff your thumbs.
Your thumb is everything.
I've never heard of thumb cuffs. That's funny. He assaulted her after he ransacked their home for valuables. Bill Doy died of his injuries while in the hospital.
Yeah. He sexually assaulted her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, that you're going to see that in pretty much all of these. Uh-huh. Like, the only way that he could get sexual satisfaction was to, like, brutally murder people.
Mm. I mean, I'm all for a little pain, but, like, no.
You can thank Cousin Mike for that.
I'm sure I won't. And no one else did, except for Richard. On the night of May 29th, 1985, so this was like 15 days, a little over 2 weeks later. So he's got like no chill.
No, he's in a blood fury. Blood frenzy, I should say.
Yeah.
He's hit his blood frenzy already. Like he went 0-60 real fucking quick.
Mm-hmm. Richard drove a stolen car to Monrovia and stopped at the house of Mabel Ma Bell, who was 83, and her disabled sister, 81-year-old Florence Nettie Lang. Finding a hammer in the kitchen, he bludgeoned and bound Nettie in her bedroom and then bludgeoned Ma before using an electrical cord to shock the woman.
Which he definitely picked that trick up from Mike.
For sure. Or
Miguel. Because that's like a interrogation tactic. You take a lamp cord and you can just shock people with it. And he shocked her for hours. Like this went on for hours.
That's
repeatedly horrible. Shocking and raping this woman.
That is horrific. So after sexually assaulting Nettie, he used Ma's lipstick to draw the satanic pentagram symbol on her thigh, as well as on the walls of both bedrooms. The women were found 2 days later, alive but comatose and critically injured. Ma later died of her injuries in the hospital. The next day, Richard drove the same car to Burbank and snuck into the home of Carol Kyle, who was 42. At gunpoint, he bound Carol and her 11-year-old son with handcuffs and then ransacked the house. He released Carol to direct him to where the family's valuables were. He then sexually assaulted her many times. Richard also repeatedly ordered her to not look at him, telling her at one point that he would cut her eyes out. He fled the scene after retrieving the child from the closet and binding the two together again with the handcuffs.
Yeah, you see that more and more, like, where he's like, don't fucking look at me type of shit.
Someone else did that, too. We didn't cover them, but, like, I feel...
Like, don't look at me or I'll fucking cut your eyes
out. Yeah. I make, like, I could be... It also could be a Criminal Minds episode. I don't know. The LAPD increased their presence on the streets. At this point, they launched a full-scale dedicated task force. And then the FBI steps in at this point to aid in the investigation. The residents are so terrified that there was a noticeable surge in gun sales, lock installations, burglar alarms, and attack dogs. From this point on, it is a full escalation. He's just going like full send on this reign of terror.
Yeah, it really ramps up from here.
Did I use full send right?
You did.
Perfect.
You did. You're up with the TikTok trend.
I just work with a lot of Gen Zers now.
Yeah.
It's weird. Well,
we don't have enough Gen Zers listening to this show, so it's fine.
I have a couple of them listening to it.
Hell yeah.
Yes, I do.
But that's where we're going to end it for this week with Richard Ramirez, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you, and we are ready to do part two right after this. Remember, it is spooky season starting September 2nd. I'm already drinking pumpkin beer, so I'm hyped. I'm ready for it.
I'm in my sweatshirt.
Christian, if you would do the socials, please.
Oh, we won't mind. If you want to continue listening to the chaos that we like to spurt into these mics, just kidding. We love you guys so much. We appreciate the downloads. Let's continue it on. Make sure you guys have your auto downloads on. If you would like to get in touch with us, we have tons of social ways that you can. That being our Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, all of those. We love you guys. We're about to be into the best time of the year.
It's the most wonderful time.
Insert gothic cathedral music into that. Aww. Yeah.
Just monks singing.
We've had our house decorated since, August 1st?
It stays decorated this way.
This studio is your home decor.
We just make it a little bit more ramped up as we get closer.
I'm here for
it. Some of it does come down. I will tell you that.
Well, yeah, but...
And guys, make sure you rate and review the show. If the listening service you listen to us on, the platform you listen to us on, allows you to leave us a review, please do so. And I'm going to play now a little bit of Eyes Without a Face by Billy Idol to close out the show. So enjoy.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.